November 29, 2016, it's a lot from Pedro's show.
Together, but you love a little too easy and a little
Watt from Pedro Show. Hey, Brother Matt.
Hey, how's it? Good. Very good.
Been a little while, but I did get to see you Saturday.
Yeah, Pappy and Harriet's. That was a cool time.
Pioneer Tail.
Yeah, got out of Pedro.
I got hip to what Pioneer Town was about. Hollywood built it, 1946.
Yeah.
And so facades was made on all this thing, so it could be like a huge set.
Mm.
Even that bowling alley had that, you know, functioning in the inside. On the outside, look old-timey. About 10 years, they did that. And then, it stopped. And bikers took over for 30 years. Yeah. And Harriet Ma, well, she ran it for 10 years as a cantina for them. But then when she gave it to her daughter... Her daughter wanted to make it for family, so she called a meeting of the bike clubs and said, this is going to be neutral. So, you got to clear out. And then start with Graham Parsons, musicians moving into Joshua Tree.
Mm-hmm.
That became that connect. And so, that's what it was about. I was tripping on. It almost snowed there, huh?
Yeah, man, it was chilly.
It was chilly.
I was bitching. Cruised around up in the park to get to trip on the rock structures and all the Joshua
Trees.
Where'd
you stay
Yucca Valley, Best Western.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of folks out there, Linda and Lori and Tim.
Right,
yeah,
right.
A bunch of folks were stationed
out
there.
We with Larry, the opening band, that father's
son. Oh,
I
wanted to check him out. Yeah. They were cool.
Too.
Yeah, I wanted to say hello to him. And there was another dude who I met who wanted to get to meet you. He talked to you on the phone last year, and he was totally bummed out. His name is Seth. He got a party called Seth Pool. Does that ring a bell or anything? You had talked to him about playing it, and he was so bummed that he had to say no because everything was all booked up and everything. So he wanted to touch base with you to see if you're interested in playing it this year because it's a cool time.
I got to check it out, though.
Cool. Yeah, I'll hook you guys up. Be the middleman.
You be the middle, the lucky Pierre? Okay. We started to show off with a fragment of My Favorite Things. John Coltrane, Five Village Gate, 61. Then something from our guests all the way from Sheffield, England.
Yeah.
Via the magic and wonder of Skype. Thank you, good people in Estonia. Dave Woodcock, the Dead Comedians with Do I Laugh Now or Wait Till It Gets Funny?
Hello.
How you doing, Dave?
Oh, good, man. How are you?
Glad to have you aboard. What's that tune about?
Well, it came about, I'm a huge, I'm a big film buff, and that's the line of the song, the title line is from Double Indemnity.
Yeah.
Fred and Scully. You know that film? Woody Robinson says it to Fred McMurray.
Yeah, well,
do I laugh now?
Or plays a bad guy.
Yeah, and it just inspired an idea about kind of relationships, dodgy relationships. There's lines in there that are kind of film noir-esque. So it just kind of sprang from that.
Okay. Let's go back. What's your first music memory?
First memory? Probably just kind of hearing kind of top 40 stuff on the radio. I kind of think back to my mom making Sunday dinner and kind of the hits of the day being played on the radio.
So at the kind pad. At your pad, where you grew up. Where was that? Was that Sheffield?
No, that was in Rotherham.
Village, right? Where's it at?
Yeah, just outside of Sheffield.
Yeah, you got to say...
It's a kind of small...
Dave, you got to
say...
You got to say the name again. This is not a perfect system. Sometimes there's dropouts. Say the name of that town again.
The town is Rotherham.
And what year are we talking about?
Oh, I was born in 79, so it would be, early 80s stuff.
Okay. Cool.
It's called Rotherham?
Rotherham.
Spell that.
R-O-T-H-E-R-H-A-M.
Rotherham. Yeah, you got dropouts on your side. I don't know if your internet connection is so good. But anyway, we'll make do. So your first music memory is hearing the radio at your parents' house. Did anybody play at home? Was your mom and pop or your brother, sister, anybody do instruments?
No, not initially. I've got musicians in the family. My uncles and cousins were musicians, but not in the house so much. Not until later on. Me and my brother started playing guitar around the same time.
Can you remember the first record you bought?
Yeah, I think it was Thriller, Michael Jackson.
Jackson.
I got a Walkman and that cassette. So that must be 84.
Yeah, around the time Double Nickels, because I have up that song for Jackson to sing. Okay, how did you get on the guitar?
Well, I've always been kind of interested in music. I always wanted to be a musician.
Why is that? Somebody inspired you?
Again, I go back to being kind of a big... Well, I'd say I was kind of a big film buff, and I got into music through film, really. Really interested in soundtracks and, you know, songs that would be played on the films and stuff like that. Me and my brother got guitars when we were kids, about 8 or 9, but never picked them up. They just kind of sat in the house and, you know, we kind of looked at ourselves in the mirror, like, you know, the old cliche. It wasn't until much later, kind of 18, 19, me and my brother both started playing at the same time.
So in school you didn't take any music classes?
Not classes. I got forced to play cello in primary school, which is what's primary school in America? That's when you're kind of really young.
Like first
junior high?
7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade.
Yeah, but I never really got on with it. It was too heavy.
Okay. But you did learn how to read some music. You gotta play them sitting down, I know that.
Yeah, I never got into the whole reading by sight or anything like that. No, it wasn't until later when I discovered bands that I really got into that I wanted to try and emulate that stuff, you know?
Okay. So the only music you had as far as getting learned was the cello. And that was a short time?
Looking back on it, it must have been a very short time. Okay. Like, I remember my uncle, who's a guitar player, trying to teach me how to play guitar on... but I was young and it didn't really take too much effort, you know.
After high school, you started playing acoustic guitar. Now, did you write songs right away?
They weren't songs, but I was writing, you know. I really love books and I really like writing. I couldn't have called them songs at that point, but they eventually became them, you know.
So what, they were like pieces of songs?
Oh, you know, bad poetry.
Poetry, but with you're strumming guitar behind it.
Well, at that point, I wasn't strumming a guitar at that point. But what I'm saying is, I've been writing for a long time, I finally picked up the guitar, they kind of became songs. Yeah,
the poems became lyrics.
Hmm.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Very bad lyrics for a long time.
Okay. Can you remember the first time you played in front of people?
Yeah. Well. I say members of the family were musicians, and they used to have a jam night up at a local pub, and, you know, got up there a few times and kind of jammed along with them. But the first time we actually played a proper gig was, I was in this awful covers band, and that was the one and only time I ever did that.
And what, it was some friends?
I remember.
It was you and some buddies?
Sega. Yeah, me and my brother and a couple of guys from Rotherham, a couple of guys from Sheffield. It was such a dreadful experience that I never did it again, though. I remember sitting outside with my brother going, I'm never doing that again. And that's when I started to put the, you know, the words I've been writing to music that I'd written myself.
What about this song, Drawing Dead? I want to play that now.
Oh, right, yeah, okay. Well, that's on the latest album, Medicine. Are you a poker player, Mike? Or is Brother Matt a poker player?
Yeah, I dig it.
Brother Matt does. He's better than me.
you know what Drawing Dead means, then?
Drawing Dead? No, I don't know that term.
Okay, so in poker... In poker, when your hand cannot be improved... You're said to be drawing dead, and it's kind of a metaphor for a, you know, the end of a relationship. No matter what you do, nothing can get any better.
Ah. Well, you can't get any more good cards from drawing.
Yeah.
We got it. We're going to hear that right now, Dave.
Cool. Spent so long trying to figure this out.
Drawing, 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 draw
that fleet of grave boats that cross the water, each boatman shrouded in a corpse of speechless wonder. Then two great armies face on the river to pull apart the edifice they built together. And
without playing bass.
Is it on? Okay. When most folks raise their head, they sit on the throne and they look down and they probably are looking at the tile. Bass with a growl. We set the tile. Now you might not look at it first, but if you feel around the tile, you know. Another way to think of it is gloom. And what is gloom without anything to sit? It's tunnel. So that's the thing. It needs your power. It's a thing. I know it's got strings and these fat things, but actually, the closer it is, we don't want a lonely kick drum.
I feel it.
We don't want a kick drum of anger in the wilderness. We want kick combined. A new ensemble, because what is an ensemble? It's a conversation. And what are we trying to do with that conversation? We're trying to make it interesting. Some words are heard, some words are said. Maybe it isn't good as the other one.
has a lot of songs. When I'm a mixer,
σαν με βάζει φρίγα. Το ξάνσα να γόσμος.
Are you choking? Are you choking?
You're a fucking idiot.
I had it all over
Cover it!
never wore no continental clothes.
From Pedro's show, that was Drawn Dead from Dave Woodcock and the Dead Comedians. Then we heard 5-Year Plan. Not the Pedro one, FYP, but the Sheffield one with James there. Washi. Then the band that James seems to like a lot in your parts called the Payroll Union. And a tune called, Woe Unto Sodom. Then Leavell with Windmill Grout Theory. That's something. This cat's in Brixton, and he recorded me going off in front of the Windmill club there. And I made a tune out of it. Luta Yusi de Zenya with Shenya Nochu. That's brand new from. For the Vasco, and it's got a new label there, Scopia. The applause industry after that with post-secondary concepts to have a surround system of self-blow. That's the title. Then the Horrors with I See You're Also Wearing a Black T-Shirt. They're out of Portland. Brand new album from Billions of Comrades, tune Posse. Light Brothers with new album, tune called Prism. Panther after that from Brendan Etter Ensemble. And Tav Falco, Panther Burns with Tram. I think Big Mr. Jim is on the drums with
Memphis.
That. Yeah, but I think he did this in England. Yeah, in fact, me and Larry Mullins in April might be recording Panther Burns album with Tav Falco.
Wear some Memphis. More pointy shoes?
Yeah. Especially being behind the amp like that. Back to Dave Woodcock's music journey. Dave, when did you make your own band?
Have you always been with your brother?
No. Well, the first band I was with was a band called Taste of Shotgun. Back in, would have been early 2000s. I did that for a little while, and then when that folded, I put together the Dead Comedians, the band that I'm currently with. We've had a few lineup changes since, you know, since we started, but we've put out three records so far. But the first band I was with was Taste of Shotgun.
Well, what was that cover band?
And that was a band called Broadside.
Okay, Broadside. And that was with your brother.
That was with my brother, yeah.
Okay.
My brother was briefly in the Dead Comedians.
Okay, but how did you get in Taste of Shotgun?
Well, I put that together. That was my band.
So that's your first band you put together?
Yeah, that was the first originals thing, yeah.
Yeah. And who'd you put in the band, your brother?
No, he wasn't in that. He already outshone me as a musician. He was way beyond me at that point, you know.
Okay, so
he was already a much better guitar player than me, even though he's at the same time. So Taste of Shotgun was kind of a punk, a kind of mixture of punk and country and blues, all the stuff that I was into at that time.
Okay, and how long ago did you guys ever record?
Couple of years, yeah. We put out kind of three records. We had a good run at it, but you know, it didn't really come to much. And I got a bit frustrated towards the end of it, and that's when I decided I wanted to do something that was, you know, Dave Woodcock and you know a bit more focused on the songwriting.
Okay, what you like collaborated more with Taste of Shotgun?
At least that was one of the things I really wanted to. Collaborate with other people. Taste of Shotgun is kind of me going in, here's the songs, here's how they go, and we started kind of playing out places, and people would come up, or other musicians in Sheffield, and say, we like what you're doing, we'd like to do stuff with you. And that's when I kind of put the Dead Comedians together. It was more of a kind of wanted a more creative approach, really.
Okay, with them songs at Taste of Shotgun, were those your first songs you wrote? Is that the poems that got turned into lyrics?
Pretty much, yeah.
Did you ever tour that band?
Not a huge deal, no. Kind of locally. That's where I kind of learned the chops, you know, around the pubs in Rotherham and Sheffield.
Right. So, the Dead Comedians. Where'd you find that name? Find that name, Dead Comedians.
Oh, the Dead Comedians. Well, that came out of a gig I did with Taste of Shotgun, one of the last ones we did. It was just after Richard Pryor had died. I think it was the night after, and I dedicated a song to Richard Pryor. And at that point, I'd also got a song that I wrote about Peter Cook, and a song named after a Lenny Bruce boxer called Let the Buyer Beware.
A guy came up to me
afterwards and said, you know, I really like the set, but what is it with you and the Dead Comedians?
And
the name kind of rang a bell in my and I thought, well, I've got this new thing going off and that's what it's going to be called.
And right away, was there a big difference between the two bands?
Yeah, I mean, the tape was very much, it was very rough and ready. You know, not to denigrate the guys in the band because I love them, but you know, it was instantly more musical. The guys were, you know, coming up with ideas, taking the kind of skeleton of the song and fleshing it out, and it was instantly more, you know, more what I was looking for. As I say, more of a collaboration rather than, you know, here's three chords and we're just going to bash it out.
Okay. And can you remember the first gig?
A comedian's gig.
Yeah.
I don't actually.
Okay.
We did quite a few in a quick succession, but it instantly felt good to me. You know, this is more of what I was looking for.
You had to switch boats like that. Did anybody survive? Any members in both bands?
No, there wasn't.
But your brother did. Your brother did come and join you for a while in Dead Comedians.
He was there. He was there for the first kind of couple of shows. He tells a story often that I pulled him off stage during one of the early shows and said, "We're not Bon Jovi. Can you please stop soloing over everything?" You know, he's a real guitar head, you know. And I wanted it to be more about the songs.
Bon Jovi, though, he's the singer. It's what's his name, Richie?
Yeah,
that's the...
You know, we're up on that stuff.
Yeah, we're up.
He'll be really happy I told that story on his show, Mike.
He'll be real happy to hear that. So what did he end up getting a boot?
He got the boot, yeah.
Did he get the boot, or did he quit? You know, some people, you can't fire me because I quit. Was it one of those things?
Yeah. Well, he's got his own thing going on, Paul. He's an exceptional guitar player, but he played on my solo album. I did a solo album between Taste of Shotgun and Dead Comedians coming out, and he played on that.
All right. But that was in the studio where you had the fader. Okay, we're at the end of the first hour, November 29, 2016, special guest Dave Woodcock. Hold tight for hour two. November 29, 2016. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Where she wants to be, where she wants to be, where she wants to be. two, three, kick it out now.
Love you, baby. Never do you no wrong. Thank you. bet your bottom buck I'm gonna find her. I'm probably right behind her. Bet your bottom buck. With a little luck, she'll be much kinder. Once I wind and dine her with a little luck. Happy when two hearts meet, sad when one heart. Whistle while you work, that was her motto, till she won the lotto. Now she doesn't work. Said I was a jerk for smoking pot-o. She called me crazy. Said I was a jerk. Happy when two hearts meet, sad when one heart beats free. Bet your bottom buck I'm gonna find her. Probably right behind her. Bet your bottom buck. Bet your bottom buck. Bet your bottom buck.
When the sun comes up tomorrow, God, how I'll be wishing I could raise my hand, turn back the light of dawn. I found the airline ticket she'd been hiding in the kitchen. Tomorrow at 11, she'll be off. Simple way, got that old God-burning feeling. I'll be dying while she's leaving, and I know now that tomorrow's taking my baby. Trace of a smile, it comes across her lovely face while she's living her delight so well. I've been walking the back streets of hell, and I know now that tomorrow's taking my baby away. She must be meeting. Tickets, destination, or is that just a stop?
but I haven't seen a sign in some very long time. The sky it arcs above and the sea it toes the line. While I've got the past, the future road is blind. Maybe that's the age in which I'm living. The miracles of youth, the well and down gone. The obvious is hidden where the sun won't shine. Maybe I never picked a maybe I done wrong. My thoughts are scattered out like fallen petals. Well, time is passing slowly but quicker than you. The saxophone is mourning and the streets turn blue. I haven't got a home but I got something new. Solitude unparalleled by others. The rocks here are scarred, deeper than life. And though you are hard, you succumb to the knife. And from your body that wasn't life, it was falling in the dirt. Cause here comes Goliath in a pinstripe suit, and his shoes are shiny, his sister's cute. David's in rags and his mind is mute. And as he hears the trumpet and the piccolo flute, all of the world it prepares to shoot. You know the times have finally spun around a meter. Love and death conspire to defeat him. Saxony retires under weight of stars, and snowdrifts filled in heaven ameliorate the cars. And in the pavilion and in the bar, skeletons are drumming out the reckoning. The sun sets by the pier and the people drown, but through the air there comes no sound. And what do I see? You wear a crown, and the rocks are turning gold and silver fire. So the normal they are vanished and the bad to hell, or whatever you might call a place like that as well. But the love to something, the love to hate, in the arms of men who ravish their defenses. And while the sign had never came, I was true surprised. It was nonetheless a joy to see joy in your eyes. You know, I always meant you right, but I fed your lies. I guess it was the age in which we're living. Cause here comes Goliath in a pinstripe suit, and his shoes are shine, his sister's cute. And David's in rags and his mind is mute. And as he hears the trumpet and the piccolo flute, all of the world it begins to shoot. You know the times have finally spun around a meter. Love and death conspire to defeat him.
best of good and wrong.
Reaction time. Reaction time. Reaction time. Reaction time.
Live from Pedro Show, we start off the second hour. Day Woodcock and the Dead Comedians. Where She Wants to Be. What can you tell us about that, too?
It's a true story about a night out in Sheffield and somebody that I met in a bar who did actually want to come back and listen to Combat Rock and wanted to buy my hat from me. but it's kind of about people that I've known in my life who are maybe a little damaged, I guess, and just kind of thinking of them in a sympathetic way.
Okay.
That makes any sense at all?
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe empathetic.
Mm, I guess so.
Combat rock, huh? Fight it out. Throw some chingazos. And what, buy your hat?
Yeah.
Your sombrero. But it was not for sale.
No, it was not for sale, no. I won't tell you what she was going to buy with it. But,
okay.
Yeah, it was just a song that kind of came to me on a, you know, after a long night out of soul searching, and I just wanted to write this song about this person that I met. Never met them again, but as you said, it was just kind of an empathetic look at you know, somebody who I hope is still out there and is not too ditched anymore.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing, brother man. There we had Luke Winslow King doing Act Like You Love Me, Negative Scanner with Criticism, Maximilian the First with Eliza, Senor Al with Find Me, The Flat Five with Bottom Buck, Dex Romweber, Tomorrow's Taking My Baby Away, Vanitas Quack from Ned Collette, and finally, Mini Beast. That's Peter from Mission in Burma.
Mm.
He's in Providence cool. now with Reaction. And Dave Woodcock here, talking from Sheffield, England, about his journey through music. What's the hardest part about a tune? Is it a subject, or is it showing the guys in the band?
I think it's shows in the band. Yeah, it's easy, I guess, to write a song and have it sound, you know, incredible in your own head, or get it to where you want it to be. But yeah, it's not a struggle, but it's, you know, trying to you know, maintain the integrity, I guess, of the song.
No, I asked you that because I remember, for you people out there, how I met Dave. We got to share stage together.
We sure did.
A pad in Sheffield called the, what's the name of that?
The Les Car.
Yeah, the Les Car.
Mm.
Trippy name. The Les Car. And Buddy James got that going in a matter of days because a gig fell through and there was a hole in the tour. And they came and plugged it with his gig.
Oh, cool.
It was
cool. Cool.
And I got to meet Dave. But I also got to meet cat in your band, Tommy Banks. Well, I was wondering, because the way you made it sound, you went way back with this guy.
I did, yeah.
Fact,
Tommy
you did a version of History Lesson Part 2 from the Minutemen where you put his name in there and your name instead of me and Dave Bones.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if I have to talk about my musical journey, I can't leave Tommy out. Part of that, he was a huge. It's a huge part of that, yeah.
And he's from Rath. What's the name?
He's from Rotherham.
Yeah, Rathham, Rotherham.
Yeah, Rotherham.
Okay.
Yeah,
Rotherham. Rotherham. Okay, and so he was playing too. What? How far back do you guys go?
Well, Tommy. Tommy was kind of the great white hope in Rotherham. He was already a kind of well-established singer-songwriter when I met him.
Oh, okay.
We were friends through a girl I was seeing at the time who unfortunately passed away. So we became very close, and he was the guy that persuaded me to, you know, go out and actually sing songs in front of people. I'd never done it. I was always the guitarist in a band. And he was the guy that persuaded me to go out and you know, be a frontman and actually sing the songs that I'd written. So Tommy's a huge kind of influence in what I'm doing now.
Did he hear you do the poems without the music?
Well, that the kind of awful poems I used to write were way before. It was after.
Was it the better poems?
Yeah. You know, once you get a little bit of heartbreak, and you know, he was the first guy I actually sat in front of and played songs to, and he was already quite established.
But Tommy,
he kidnapped me one night.
He wasn't in Taste of Shotgun.
No, but he produced Taste of Shotgun. He was a fan of the band. He produced the records, and he played on a couple of them as well. But he wasn't actually a member of the band.
Well, when it came time for the Dead Comedians, you were thinking of him?
Well, ironically enough, no. We kind of lost contact for a little bit. But when a position in the band came free, and he said, I'm doing anything at the moment, you know, do you fancy hooking up and doing something? It just made perfect sense. I was like, yeah, why didn't we think of this before? So Tommy's been in the Dead Comedians for a couple of years now.
Did that opening appear because you scissored your brother?
No. But this is a few years after that. Okay. We scissored somebody else.
You scissored somebody else. Okay. Right? It's good to know these things, eh? But right now, you know, it's time. It's very good to know these things. But right now, it's time for Brother Matt to bring forth the spin cycle.
Cool. So...
Lightning Woodcock got the motherfucking blues. Oh, yeah. So now I got the blues. Because the female was giving me all of her vagina. She pulled me down. She pulled me down. Like a goddamn, oh, yeah. Like a goddamn dog.
Gentlemen and ladies, I'm glad to be before you tonight to introduce some boys that's going to sing a song. Stay Out of the Chain Store is the title. And then while they sing, I want you to listen. Then I want you to put it into action. Stay out of these chain stores. The time has come, as I've said to you before, for you to patronize your merchant in the town where you live. And to the country people that's out yonder, when you come to town, spend your money with people who will give you credit. Spend your money with the people who give you a job. I'm telling you this for your good. And our boys, I want you to sing tonight as never before.
Let me tell you people, Lord, for the white and color too. Lord, it's time for you to wake up, Lord, and see how they're treating you. You better stay out. Lord, they change, don't you better stay out. Lord, they change, don't you better stay out. Lord, they change, don't they run you sure as you want. There's in the advertising, Lord, they do draw you to that door. Lord, that's forget you get your payroll, Lord, to the chain store you will go.
You better see
out of the chain store, you better see out of the chain store, you better see out of the chain store, they'll ruin you sure as you fall.
Oh, when you get your money, Lord, you better be for sure.
Lord, and give it to your wife, Lord, let us see out of the ghetto.
Let us see out
of the ghetto, you better see out of the ghetto. You better see out of the ghetto, they'll ruin you sure as you born.
You can walk up to the chain door,
Lord, in there you'll find a key.
As soon as you get your money,
they'll ship it to another state.
Out
of the chain door, you better see. Out of the chain door, you better see. Out of the chain door, they'll ruin you sure as you born. That you think about the chain door, Lord, you'll find it to be true. For they do not give you what you do, and they will not thank you.
Now let me tell you people,
Lord, the best thing for this land, Lord, let us see out of the chain store and serve your big man.
You better see
out of the chain store, you better see out of the chain store, you better see out of the chain store, they'll ruin you.
Children, as I look at this red number this morning, it brings.
So, what is the real deal in this world?
Once upon a shine, a long time ago, a beautiful bright star, as fine as any goddess. She had long held the dominant position in the sky and had been admired by all for her beauty. But lately she felt unwell. Indeed, it seemed as though her life was ebbing away. Failing and failing, she clung to any companion star she could find, only to discover that they too felt the deathly grip. And we're weakening. Once upon a shine, a long time ago,
clear picture. I will go back to its beginning and then bring you down to the present, today's status of that plot, the Illuminati.
This same situation destroyed civilization after civilization. Western Europe, Latin America, and the USA. The network's ideological cement is mixed from Marx and Mao with proclaimed goals of world revolution. World revolution. The attained through a worldwide war of terror against the advanced states in attempts to undermine their normal way of life. And
at the center, usually depicted as the all-seeing eye, there is a tiny group in complete control, with one man as the undisputed leader. Next comes a circle of secondary leadership that for the most part is completely unaware of an inner core. They are led to believe that they are the innermost ring. In time, as these conspiracies are built from the center out, they form additional rings of organization. Those in the outer echelons usually are poor, idealistic souls with an honest desire to improve the world. They never suspect an inner control for sinister purposes. And only those few who demonstrate a ruthless capacity for higher leadership are ever allowed to see it.
Secret organizations.
Well, you got me there, Art. I'm a Shriner.
Brother Matt, thank you so much. What made you do what you just did to us?
Christmas. That was Christmas influence.
It was early Xmas.
Yeah, early Christmas influence.
You notice how the Hollywood Xmas, it's always the Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
After Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's not even December yet. What's that about? So, you were feeling...
The joy.
The joy.
Early shopping prep.
Yeah, about the chain store. Don't go to the chain
store. That made me think of Dirk. Being my local, because last year on Black Friday, I went and made an investment with Dirk.
Yeah.
And, so it's like Black Friday against the corporate dudes, but independent dudes got to take care of them.
Yeah, by the way.
And that was an old tune there from Reverend Gates.
Yeah.
Spieling it way back.
Way back. Dirk didn't have something that I needed. So instead I went up to Alvis, but that's still Pedro.
Oh, yeah.
Shit, hard fact.
Yeah, those dudes take care of biz up there. They're cool. Wyatt and Duncan. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then if you need any dance lessons, they got the pad next door.
Got it covered. And have you ever done a gig at that place?
No, but I saw Don Bonebreak play there with a fusion trio.
Wow, yeah, they get some neat stuff.
Let's get back to our... Yeah, absolute. And like we say, it's homegrown. It's homegrown. Back to Dave Woodcock out there in Sheffield. Sorry to keep you out in the cold.
We had your cousin, the Lightning Woodcock, started that set off.
Hear that? Lightning Woodcock.
No, but I'm going to go back and listen to it some more.
He's blowing some heart there and talking about having some goddamn blues. Anyway, you said something about blues earlier. I think when you put together Taste of Shotgun. And I mean, what's your idea about genre?
I've never really stuck to it. I like a range of different music, and I always wanted that to influence what I was doing. So I've never really stuck to one genre. A touchstone for me is London Calling. You know, every song on that sounds different, but it all sounds like The Clash.
The Clash.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I kind of always.
Oh yeah, I remember that song. Yeah, I really know the Green record. The one where they ain't got a drummer. I think they scissored him. on the back it says, what's it say? It says Tory Crimes.
Tory Crimes,
But I think his real name was Terry Chimes. Yeah. And I hear that he gives rubs. He's a massage dude.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, recently. I didn't read it yet.
Oh, he put out a book.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because I think they had to bring him on some tours or stuff in the early days. Anyway, it's been the second hour, November 29, 2016, edition of Watford Peters with Brother Matt here and our guest from Sheffield, England.
Yeah.
Dave Woodcock. Hold tight for hour three. November 29, 2016. It's the third hour of the Watford Peters Show.
Yeah. my horse, get back on the piece. Just another friend will take the time to mess. Still digging holes in snow white skin. This 16 is back when thin. I just believe the act was right. Never get out of this world alive. We had the agony, but not the ecstasy. There were chemicals, but no chemistry. When I looked at her, when she looked at me.
Samica Rodoya, Zlatny Bukwinko Historia, powiedzcie o co dobywam progresowna ci powiedzcie, a nie po dobro. Kie kupowam, kie nabodam, powiedzcie, kie dobijam, kie izradam, kie izgubam.
Teško je da zadovoliš publika koja stupe da naći kopolete.
Kozmetika, neetika i nešto novo. Svež let, MP3, brzo dosadila. Svež limon, no duga, brzo dosadila. Google, ne postoji prašanje koje neko nego postoji utra tebe. Varam 5, 6, 7 pati, što se pravi stara.
$200,000 for a ticket to space. $200,000 for a ticket to space. $200,000 for a ticket to space.
Going to
just want to travel far, far away from you. I just want to travel far.
Bought from Pedro Show started the third hour off with Dave Woodcock and the Dead Comedians at the pharmacy. Enlighten us, Dave.
Oh, well, what to say about this one? You've stumped me, my friend. As you Riley said, it is another true life story. It's about somebody that I... Well, it's kind of an amalgamation of people that I know who have not gone through good times, let's put it that way. And again, a kind of empathetic look at kind of what they're going, you know, hopefully shedding a bit of light and a bit of love on that. There's a line on the album that record is from, which is an album called Medicine. It's one of the first lines I wrote, that I've been to more funerals than I've been to weddings, and writing that line kind of upset me, and I wanted to shed a little bit of light on the friends that I've kind of lost over the years. And that was a song about somebody who was mentally ill and needed medication and the stuff that we had to go through to make sure she was okay. So it's kind of a rough song, but we put it in a kind of upbeat kind of punky vibe, and I think it's a good tune.
All right, after that we had Hell Beans with The Ghost on London Road, Nels Klein brand new Hairpin and Hatbox, Stick Sellers with Unit Number 51. Or Unit something. My pop said that when I was a boy, I knew about them aliens, guys on the ice.
Uh-huh.
He told me about that.
Mm-hmm.
Hangar something. It was a number of the hangar. And yeah, and my mom, those are sea stories, fish stories. And then like 20 years later, you hear about this Hangar 17 and Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
Open Kimono after that with Freedom. Povecchie from Bernays Propaganda. That's Brother Vasco. By the way, I just got the tunes from those guys for the Pedro Balkan four-way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the Croatia band, the Mellow Men, Brother Koya from Belgrade, the Vasco Ascopia, and Second Man from Pedro.
It's
for Record Store Day 2017.
Cool.
And art from Darko out of Bosnia.
Mm.
Very
cool.
Sarajevo. But he's living now in... Oh, yeah, he's staying in Split. He said, I want to live by the sea.
Can't blame him.
He might get to do Split next to us.
Oh, awesome.
So that might be a good bet.
Yeah, yeah.
Brother Matt wants to come to Europe for the first time.
Yeah, catch a show there.
So he wants to coordinate with some Mio Sogno de Marinaio gigs.
Yeah.
For September, October. And we got to play together again, too, Dave. After, MB Jones, a demo of the $200,000 ticket to space. What plans you got for the Dead Comedians?
We're writing at the moment. We're hoping to record early next year. So we've got a new record coming out. We've just got a new organ player in, so we're just kind of getting him set up, and I've done a couple of solo gigs, just me and him, going through some new stuff, and hopefully, getting out there and playing some songs, and hopefully Mike, we'll hook up soon and go stage again at some point.
Do you like doing that, playing the songs before you record them?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to get a feel for, not if the audience is going for it, but how that kind of sits, for you, I think, to kind of getting a feel for them and going, this works, this doesn't work. I do but and kind of road test the songs before we actually put them down, yeah.
Yeah, there's always such a difference. I found, like, when you go back where you have to do them, kind of make them up in the studio, or at least record them without a lot of gigs, and then you start doing gigs, and you see how the tunes change, and they never had that.
Yeah, well, one of the things we're doing, we're digging back into the back catalogue a bit and picking out a few songs that we haven't done for a while and seeing how we can do them a bit differently, and, you know, kind of figuring out, going back to, you know, why it was written and, you know, how we can change it up. And we were kind of so focused over the last couple of years of doing stuff off the new record. I'm kind of personally excited about going back and doing a lot of early stuff and figuring that out, as well as writing the new ones.
Have you ever had an organ in the band before?
Yeah, we had a piano player before, a good friend of mine, Chris Murphy, who's a great band called Chris Murphy and the Box of Genius. He was in the band for a while, and I think, you know, I personally missed it on the last record. It was very guitar centered, a lot of guitar on it. So it's nice to have that other texture again. I really like it. I think it's just another thing you can bounce off of as a vocalist and as a guitar player.
What about this tune, Dave? The Way Back Down.
Yeah, that was I always think of records as like concept records with a small C, you know. Not kind of overblown, but there's something there that's got a thread through it. And I was looking for a song that would end a record we did called Poison Nights and Barroom Lights. And I started playing this song, and I thought, yeah, a full band behind this, it'll be a good ending song. It's the last song, and it's kind of influenced a little bit. You know, it's quite Springsteen-esque. You know, I love the Boss. A kind of an anthemic thing that, you know, somebody could sing back at you, and they do. You know, I love playing that song live because people do kind of get on the chorus and clap along and sing back to you.
All right.
It's a bit of an excuse to write an anthem, really.
Okay, it's the last song from you on this edition of Wild from Pedro show, so let's listen to it now.
Heading up to the bright lights of town, heading up. look my way. Loving kind ignores me day by day. Ignores me day by day. I got lost somewhere on the way to Metropolis. Metropolis. I got lost somewhere on the way. Somewhere on the way to Metropolis. Love is long. It just doesn't run with me. Sees no future. Gives me no prophecy. Gives me no prophecy.
I got lost somewhere on the way to Metropolis. Metropolis. I got lost somewhere on the way. Somewhere on the way to Metropolis.
Echo Park, and everyone's getting high inside the teepee, feeling each other up and going down. My love is far away and her phone is off, and I've fallen prey to the alcohol, drugs, and orgies that surround me. Then I find myself in Las Cruces, sitting by the side of the road, holding a cardboard sign saying, anything helps, God bless, and I am waiting for the Lord to take me home. It's New Year's Day above L.A., and finally I'm awake beside a stranger, feeling my head explode and getting sick. My love is far away and her phone's still off, and I have to say that I think this might just be the worst year ever. Then I found myself in Las Cruces, lying by the side of the road, next to a cardboard sign saying, anything helps, God bless, and I'm still waiting for the Lord to take me home. I don't know how I got here, I don't know where I'm from, I don't know where I'm going, and I sure don't know how come. I've taken to religion, it's all that I got left, when I'm not high or wishing I was drowning. My regrets and tears and beers, soon I'm gonna die in Las Cruces, bury me by the side of the road, put up a cardboard sign saying, nothing ever helped but God bless, and he's still waiting for the Lord to take him home. Still waiting for the Lord to take me home, take me far away from Las Cruces, fly me high on over your Oregon mountains. I know that's where you keep your pearly gates.
Watt from Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Of course, Dave Woodcock and Dan Comedians doing The Way Back Down. A reason to write an anthem, because you wanted to close out a little C concept record. Makes good sense. Then we heard King Champion Sounds doing Here Getting Tired. Out of Liverpool, Space. That's Brother Phil Hartley there. And Metropolis. 18 seconds with Time is an Illusion. I am melting away. And finally, Elliot Eidelman with Death in Las Cruces. Las Cruces is in New Mexico. It's right on the border with Mexico. And so Texas is right there, too.
Some oldest spots in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a trippy area. I think New Mexico State, there's a college here, too. In fact, I think it might have been where Michael Cooper went. Koopaloo.
Uh-huh.
I think so. My memory isn't that good, but
good old Michael Cooper.
Like, yeah.
Mr. Cooper. Mr. Six Man.
To the deck every time. It was intense.
Yeah, he's the exhausted.
A lot of
six
hustle
man.
Out of that, man.
Yeah.
Dave, maybe you got young people come up to you and want advice about this music stuff. What do you tell them?
Well, I mean, just go for it if you want to do it. You know, I spent way too long sitting on my hands, worrying about, you know, how good I was, how good my voice was, all this kind of stuff. You know, I could have spent years, you know, prior to that actually going out there and doing it. So I would just, you know, if you've got a passion for it, you want to do it, you got something to say, go on and do it, because, you know, people out there will listen to it and get from it what they want to get.
I think that's some good words.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you, you know, a couple months ago, helping me and my Italian brothers.
That was one of the best nights of our life. So thank you for coming down. Oh, we really got a kick out of it.
We're going to play again once more, and I wish you luck on this upcoming album with the new Oregon player. Have you got a title for this record?
Not yet. We got a bunch of songs, but no title.
That's okay. Like Mr. Wells said, right? Mm-hmm. No wine before it's time. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Dave. Truly. Keep the keel in the water.
Keep Brother
on,
Matt,
keep
too.
Keep it on. I promise. Yeah, Brother Matt says.
All right, see you still, guys.
Likewise.
Yeah.
It's been the November 29, 2016 edition of the Watt for Pedro Show. Everybody, keep your powder dry.
Yeah.